sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am not. I'm John.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Returning co-host John. welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing The Dead
Most
Zone.
Consistent guest co-host.
You just guessed the first episode. You just came back every day.
I played that long con where it's like, until they tell me that I don't actually work there, I'm just going to keep showing up.
Yeah. I can't tell you not to come anymore because you're not getting paid. So, I don't know where I left off. John will give us the plot in 5 words. He'll give our first thoughts and then we go do a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are reviewing Yellow Jacket Season 3, Episode 6. Thanksgiving, Canada. Oh. So,
I didn't know that was what it was called.
It's called Thanksgiving, Canada. Because I guess, that Thanksgiving, they celebrate Thanksgiving on a different day in our friendly neighbors to the north.
Yes. No, they're not our friendly neighbors anymore, actually.
Yeah. Well, no, they're friendly to non-Trump administrative people. They hate the administration. They don't really hate the American people.
That's super kind of them.
Of course.
I'm sure they're all like that.
Yeah. Sweet old Canadians. That's why I put my elbow up for them, right? That's how they... Have you seen that?
No.
That's their way of being defiant of American people, is they show them their elbow.
Oh,
it's like a whole thing. Whole thing.
I like it.
Was it last weekend or 2 weekends ago? Mike Myers did it at the end of Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
Where you wear the shirt that says, Canada is not for sale.
Canada's not for sale. Truly, we are in the worst timeline. All right. Yellow Jackets. Probably the most important thing to talk about is more people have shown up. The others are here from Lost. Yes. Are here infiltrating the passengers.
Which is kind of just the last like 2 seconds of the episode, right?
Right. Because I love their reaction, right? When he's like, holy shit, what's going on here?
And I was like, hey, it's what's his name? He's the cool guy in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I should know his name. I fucking did a bunch of shit for him at Funny or Die for a long time.
Yeah. So what? This is interesting. I actually found this. I've actually feel like the show's been waning a bit. You know, Yellow Jackets kind of grows through the like, this episode's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
This actually I thought was a twist I didn't see coming where more people are showing up. People actually found them in the woods and they're acting... They're acting. They seem to be the savage ones.
Yes. Which I did think was funny because we were just talking about like, it doesn't feel like the end of the season is going to be them getting discovered, or at least it has to be. But this happened earlier than we thought.
Yeah, I feel like we're full steam ahead, man. By the time next season rolls around, they should be like, about to be rescued or rescued, as I truly believe that we're going to do like them being back in civilization with these group of characters, younger versions of these characters, and then kind of like distilling what it is. Cause I personally would love to see it because we got so many like conflicts, right? Like how's Natalie going to return back to, her town? Shauna has a lot of shit. She has to tell, you know, what is she going to hide? There's a lot of drama they can,
I think Shauna's just gone off the deep end. And like I said, I feel like it's just servicing, not even servicing. It's, they've drastically overhauled Shauna's personality in this season just to accommodate what they've written for her in the past. And I know you could argue in the second season she had these tendencies, but I feel like if they had written the young Shauna like this in the second season, she would have been more gung-ho about just killing that guy and getting over, getting, you know, shit over with.
Right. And I still feel like the present day stuff is the weakest. Like, I feel like, and I had this thought after finishing this episode, where what if the present day stuff, what I don't like about the present day stuff, let me say, is that it's too soap opera-y. Like, it's too much like murders and this and that. It just seems like too much high drama. A different approach I think they should have taken is more like a more like a sort of take of like how these women are dealing with the trauma that they went through, kind of like a everyday day-to-day stuff where they try to live in society. Like maybe Shauna's like fucking in a PTA and all the mothers hate her, or, you know, maybe they could have dealt with Natalie's drug addiction more of a struggle instead of what we got, you know? And then they could have peppered in like Travis's death and, I don't know. I just feel like they have just killed too many old versions here. I think this is where I'm landing on this. Like, cause we just dealt with the death, right, of Natalie. And
yeah. And then they just fucking went.
Fuck Lottie. She's dead too now, you know? So.
Which
I'm not.
I feel like the more we learn about Lottie from the past, I don't know why they keep in, like, is she really their friend? I don't think so.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. I just feel like if they would have presented it more of like them struggling to finish society, I would have fit better with the flashback stuff. Cause the flashback stuff seems to be like the way it's kind of being written now is like, that was when they were disconnected from society and they kind of like enjoyed living and surviving on their own in the woods.
Yeah.
So, and I feel anywho, like
the first season had a lot of what you were talking about, where it was like present day people dealing with the repercussions of their alleged actions because nobody really knows what happened out there except for them. Right.
Right. Yeah.
I'm assuming they made a pact or something. I don't know.
Yeah. To me, it just doesn't, a lot of the things that happened out there is not really like, we're not seeing the repercussions of it in terms of like the relationships they have with each other in the present day stuff.
Yes. Another interesting thing that happened this episode is what they,
Ben's officially dead.
Ben, yeah, is officially dead. Yeah. Which really bummed me out, but it was, I did feel kind of heartbroken and happy that Natalie did it at the same time.
Yeah.
Cause they were fucking torturing this guy. And I made a joke and don't cancel me for this, but I'm like, this is how women write gay men. They should know better than to be gay men. Let's kill them.
Yeah. Let's accuse them of a crime and then let's eat them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just feel like specifically since they cast Sophie Thatcher, Natalie character almost seems more important now. You kind of have to, because she's like the breakout star of the show.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, but then we lost Julia Louis, right? She's never coming back.
No.
So, yeah.
I was also going to say there is, what kind of tape was that? Fucking where they made fun of like the only people I know that had this sort of cassette were this person and like shitty bands that were trying to record a demo.
They did reference it. They called it
something with a D, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at my DAT tape.
DAT. Oh, DAT tape.
DAT, yeah. It is a digital audio tape. It's okay. Plain, nondescript.
Remember these, but I never used one.
No, I never. Yeah,
we were. I never had anything like this. Had enough money to fucking afford something like this.
Yeah, I don't like any of this present day stuff where like they've kind of positioned everybody has a motive for killing Lottie. It's like, why? Like, What's to what end are we? This is the soap opera shit I'm talking about. Like none of this is interesting on a story standpoint.
I think we both had the way that the show was going that we were inclined to believe that Thaisa probably killed Lottie because it's a primitive Thaisa, right? Is taking control.
Yeah.
Which there's more evidence to. I mean, it's at this point where they were both pretty sure that it's primitive Thaisa has taken over, like since they left the forest, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
So we just gotta see that moment in the forest where there's a switch and we don't see, or you know, and then it just becomes her.
The characters to realize, yeah.
And it's like the writers of the show saw Jordan Peele's Us like once and was like, well, I have an idea.
Got it.
So I know what to do. A black character, I have an idea.
Exactly.
Because I saw this movie about black people.
It just seems, yeah.
And I'm being really pissy because I'm pissed off at the writers for making Shauna just a complete fucking, like, sociopath asshole. Like, why?
Yeah, it seems like they're just going 100%. She's now bad, right?
Yeah, which is ridiculous. It's like, there was all this like intimate, you know, getting to know Shauna shit, like beginning of season two. And then of course that went off the deep end when they're just like, oh, Shauna's just going to kill this guy and, you know, not really feel remorse, just be weird about it.
Yeah.
But I did hear some interesting stuff via an interview with, what's her name? Shauna, Melanie Lynskey, right? Which I'm trying to think, did I see this in an interview or she was recently on the show I work on? I think she talked about it. Where it's like, yeah, she doesn't give a shit about anything. So you got to remember that her character is supposed to be very, like I was saying, I think they just wrote her to be a sociopath and that's just who she is.
Right. Especially since now that she's like,
Patrick Bateman, sort of. Not Patrick Bateman. What the fuck's his name? I'm blanking real hard. Sorry. American Psycho.
Yeah. Christian Bale?
Yeah, what's his character's name?
Patrick Bateman. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And then what's the child actor who's now like one of her favorite actors? He always plays the same guy. He was on Arrested Development. I don't remember his name now.
Jason?
Sorry, that's irrelevant. Jason Bateman. Yeah,
Jason Bateman. Right. I couldn't think of the last name.
Oh my god! Yeah, my brain is spinning in half right now.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I think they're kind of positioning Shauna. I think Shauna's probably going to die by the end of this year. What do you think? Next season, she's dead. She seems to be antagonistically turning her into the bad person. Which I guess there has always been signs because she kind of, since the first season, she killed the rabbits and she killed this guy with little evidence or remorse. And then she cheated on Jeff. She's kind of never really, she cheated when she was younger. She was cheating on, Ella Parnell's characters. Jackie.
Yeah.
So yeah, that she got pregnant with Jeff's baby. Which I don't think she told Jeff, right? I forget the outline of that. Did she bury the kid?
I'm not sure. I think maybe Jeff does know. Jeff seems really simpy. I don't know how to describe it. And I'm trying to understand why Jeff is like this, but they also wrote Jeff to be kind of a ding dong. He's like
right.
You know. Mm-hmm.
He's kind of dumb, but kind of easily swayed by Shauna and Jackie.
Yeah.
All right. What else happened? Anything else you want to hit on before we move on to our review?
I feel like Misty kissing a dead coach was not my favorite part.
I thought it was funny that she's like my first boyfriend or something. Great.
Yeah, she's, I don't know. Yeah. And then current day Misty is very upset with Elijah Wood's character. God, I keep forgetting his name.
Right, yeah.
William. Hank. I don't know.
Oh yeah, his Walter. yeah.
Which well, is kind of weird too.
Who?
Walter. Misty?
Walter? Yeah. I feel like that's all smokescreen. I think Walter's fine. I think he's
I think so too.
Pretty genuine in his whatever he's saying seems like the truth. He's not trying to manipulate.
Because this season's also kind of spinning Misty to be like the new protagonist.
Lead. The lead of the show, I feel like she's been the best character.
Outside actress, of Mari. What's her name? Christy Ricci or something is like a breakout star now?
I think so. I feel like, and you know what? I would argue that Misty is the best present to flashback comparison.
Yeah.
That's why she's the best character, because she kind of still, they perfectly kind of mimic each other's behaviors. She's annoying. She's rather smart and very cunning when she was younger and now. So.
Yeah. I kind of feel like the.
Thais is a good one too, by the way, but.
Yes, but like Sophie Neeson's persona as a young person is more angry.
Right. But I feel like that's bad writing. That's less her performance. Cause I feel like she's having to play this like alpha Shauna now after everything.
And then, Travis is also there. Okay. I think that's about it.
He's been neutered. He's kind of there.
His character has gotten a pay cut or something.
Yeah. That's weird.
Real important in the first season, but.
It sort of faded to the back. Yeah. It's like he got that boner for Lottie, young Lottie, and that was kind of it. He's been on mushroom tea, whatever, this entire time.
Chilling. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Cool. So episode, excited about this twist that there's these other people that found their camp and stuff. So definitely shows that juxtaposition of like their savagery and like what they're up to and how crazy they are behaving as opposed to this new team or whatever.
Which also we need to understand, like, it seems like everybody can hear the weird screaming things in the forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
This forest, which is like close to being almost like a rainforest, right?
That's a good question. I think it's just the rainforests are only one area in South America. Yeah. Right? So,
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like what kind of animals live there? Right. So what is casually not attacking them?
You know, that white moose didn't attack him. Whatever the fuck that was. Yeah,
it's like a super beast bear is going around and like, oh shit, food. Oh shit, it's a bunch of teenage girls. I'm out.
Yeah.
Where's that gay guy? Ah, they already ate him. Fuck.
Yeah. Alrighty, let's move over to our main review of The Dead Zone. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
4. David Cronenberg's Bonin and Cronin Dead Zone, written by Stephen King. Coming in at number 3. No bad cell phone reception here. Coming in at number 2 for The Dead Zone, Dude's Ex Cheats on Husband.
Dude's Ex Cheats on Husband. Yep, that's true. That happened.
And coming in at number 1 for David Cronenberg directing Dead Zone, Christopher Relearns How to Walk In.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. The Dead Zone.
It's about a guy who is like, yeah, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the story. It's called Sleepy Hollow. It's about some dude that loses his head.
Mm-hmm. Eh?
Eh? He's playing the long con. He's like, 30 years from now.
I'll play that part. What is... Did you read... This is a book, right?
Yes.
King wrote... Did you read the book?
If
you
no, remember. I didn't read the book.
So just the movie?
But this movie, I'm sure, plays out pretty close to how the book was written. Because Stephen King's books are very... In my opinion, notorious for being kind of slow world building, character building. And then the last part of it is like this exciting, like, whoa, I can't believe that happened.
Right.
I don't know if this was something David Cronenberg, we needed somebody like David Cronenberg necessarily to direct.
Hmm.
I'm sure he took it as an opportunity to do something fun and written by Stephen King, but.
Yeah.
Literally could have been any director, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll kind of echo the same thing. I kind of felt like this was very, like, a pretty tame approach in terms of, like, the material he was directing than what you might expect from a Cronenberg. Though there are some, like, really nice stuff in this, like, that shot early on when the house is on fire and he's, like, sitting in the bed and everything's on fire, the water's bubbling. And, like, I thought that was a really cool visual, you know? Mm-hmm. Very kind of Cronenberg's alley and stuff. But I kind of felt like everything else after that, like the actual plot of it, it seems pretty, it's kind of your standard kind of like thriller movie. Like,
for whatever reason, I thought this was a made for TV movie, but I also think maybe when I finally got to see it, it was like on TV, like as a 2-3 part special.
Here's a spicy take I have. I don't think David Cronenberg knows how to shoot action. So
that's cool. Yeah.
He did
History of Violence, right? Wasn't that him?
Yeah, but okay, fair. It's been a minute since I've seen it, but I'm talking specifically like over this set of movies we've watched and last set of movies, like the poor kind of like direction, some of the crashes and some of the stuff, more action set pieces that he's directed have been pretty tame to bad.
He's no Sam Raimi, that's for sure.
True, no Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think he really got the casting of Christopher Walken. I think Walken's excellent in this.
Oh, and he's amazing, yeah.
It almost seems like this performance shaped a lot of his persona that he has had, you know, when we were growing up to where now, you know, he's a bit older and, you know, he's taking on kind of a different kind of persona now. But yeah, it almost seems like, unfortunately to me, it also feels like it almost seems kind of almost a caricature now because of how kind of, does that make sense? Like, it seems like it's kind of like he's,
I feel like they, it's like when people cast him though, they want that. It's kind of,
yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's like a very exaggerated version of who Christopher Walken is, like Nicolas Cage, right?
Who right.
Arguably in his younger years was a fucking phenomenal actor. And
right.
Then he became a caricature of himself. But when you put him in like a movie where he actually gives a shit, he's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So, cause right now I'm also catching up with Severance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like watching Christopher Walken's parts in that. I'm like, wow, he's fucking excellent.
Yeah. Totally unrecognizable. And like from what you may see in his other performances.
Yeah.
And he's excellent and just being, this character in Severance. I'd also argue I loved him in Catch Me If You Can. He's excellent in that movie too.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in terms of like both those performances are so different from what you get. And I think you're right. I think this was a big hit for Cronenberg and like people saw Walken and were like, we want that. We want that crazy, crazy haired Walken.
Which is funny. Like, yeah, because nobody else in that movie went on to do anything else, I don't think.
Which one? Which movie?
In Dead Zone. There's no other famous actors in it.
That's no. It.
Just Christopher Walken. Martin. I thought it was Martin Short, but it's some nobody named Martin Sheen.
Yeah. Martin Sheen's in this for a second.
Yeah. I remember this being a bigger part of the movie. I didn't think it was just the last 20 minutes of the movie.
I kind of feel like, yeah, it's kind of episodic, right? Because like once he kind of gets his powers, he's solving a murder locally and then he gets tangled up into like this big presidential conspiracy plot. Right. Very B movie, in my opinion.
Which at one point, when Christopher Walken wakes up and his parents show up, right? Which in my head, I'm like, aren't you like at this point 40 or something?
Like
that? Yeah. How old are your parents here? I guess. And then the mom is like, oh, because time, all the time that's gone. And he's like, it's a miracle. Not even a scratch on me. I don't know why I thought all that was so funny. I was like, this is corny, dude.
Also love the...
It's been 5 years.
I just love the ice is going to break. I can stop laughing. I was like, was that a meme? So yeah, I did spend too much time trying to see if that was a meme. But I swear I've seen that in... I loved it. It was so funny.
You know, I don't... Have I been spoiling stuff?
I don't think so.
Like you said, like this movie played out very episodic. Yeah, you're right. Like, maybe that's why I thought it was a made-for-TV movie, because I felt like it was chunks.
Right.
I mean, it's exactly like a Stephen King book. It's not like one linear story. I mean, it kind of is, but it's like moments in this guy's life.
Yeah.
Which also, when he's like leaving home and, or he's leaving his girlfriend's place because they're both teachers at this school.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to sleep with her because they're waiting till marriage. And I was like, aren't you like,
what the fuck is this? What age is he playing?
And he's like, no, I got to go home. Some things are worth waiting for. And it's like fucking icy and. I guess the humidity inside of the car is getting to him, and they're trying to showcase that, but also they don't want to show that because they need to show his face, so it looked confusing that he's like clearing nothing on the glass.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, this sequence where he crashes into the car was terrible, right?
Yeah,
like,
it was awful, yeah.
I don't think Cronenberg could be bothered with an action sequence ever. He's just like, whatever, body horror.
Whatever it to be. Well, I think... From what I understand, they actually did film something that was like way cooler, and like he crashed, and then it showed Christopher Walken like coming to and then fucking somebody in the crash.
He fucked somebody?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm making fun of his other movie, Crash.
Well, man, I'm trying to recall, but I thought Scanners had some better action in it, right?
It was a little more fun. It was like more... closer to like Assault on Precinct 13 action stuff.
Right. Yeah, like that B movie grade action style, which
yeah.
Since a lot of his characters deal with crashes, right?
Yeah, like you know, having issues with their flesh is a big one as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very, I feel like Cronenberg should have been a professor, right? Like a medical professor or something.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
He's very on the nose, very kind of, very bland, I think.
And then he met Brian Yuzna, and he's like, this guy gets it.
Yeah. Cool. What else? Anything else in this movie in terms of like plot or...
I'm going to be quite frank. I thought a good majority of it was kind of boring.
And you've seen this movie before, right? I imagine. Yes,
yeah, a couple times, yeah. And I don't know why I remember it going faster.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, maybe it's because I did the same thing I'm doing right now, is like preoccupying my time by not paying attention anymore. Just like.
Right.
Because then they'll go into like things like Martin Sheen and his other agenda. And I'm like, I don't know. Okay, I don't think I need this much time on this.
Yeah, I did like the portrayal of his powers. Like, you know, I typically talked about the first sequence where he sees the house on fire, but I also like the when he's already solving crime, right, where he's at the gazebo and he sees the guy.
Yeah,
I think those sequences have a lot of like tension to them, the way it's shot and everything. You know,
And also what an awful waste of Tom Skerritt. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tom Skerritt is.
I was like, why even bother casting Tom Skerritt in that role if you're not going to use him for the rest of the movie?
Like, yeah, I could totally see why this movie was turned into a TV show. It's just because it's episodic, right? I mean, it's just a guy going around solving crimes with the
who ended up playing him? Michael Anthony Hall, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you watch any of those?
Yes, I did. And I remember when it came out, because when was that? That was like
early 2000s. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the name and I was like, I'm a big John Hughes fan. And I was like, this surely isn't the same guy, right? But I think, like, I watched that and it fucking clicked. Like, I had seen Edward Scissorhands I don't know how many times and it had never fucking clicked that that was the same guy.
The first episode aired June 16th, 2002.
So 2002? I guess that was a very long time ago, but in my head it was, like, earlier than that.
Yeah, I never made a, like, conscious effort to watch it episode to episode, but I remember watching, I kind of, like, vaguely kept up with it, you know, through just reading about it and just, like, watching a random episode here and there. But
yeah, I don't.
Six seasons.
Busy. I didn't have time for that. I was, like, too busy getting laid, you know?
Yeah. Your hair down to your ass and getting laid. And
exactly.
Getting old people fake IDs, getting old people to buy you beer.
Hell yeah. You know what it is. Or just going to the sketchy fucking convenience stores out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. But yeah, this ended in 2007. So 6 years.
2007. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Crazy run. Six seasons.
I guess we got a new show to watch.
I don't either. Okay.
Man, okay, we can go into spoilers if you want.
We can talk about the third act of this, the middle of the third act, with the president. Dun dun dun.
The spoiler is,
wait. No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. he can see the future. That's good.
Yeah. The dead zone. He can see a dead zone.
Yeah, he can see a dead zone where there's many possibilities. Yeah. He is Doctor Strange.
Oh, fuck. That's true. He is. He is.
What is the spoiler? So Martin Sheen is an evil guy and
yeah,
he kind of screwed himself by pulling an Elon Musk and forcing his child in front of him all the time. No, I was kidding.
All of this is true. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess Christopher Walken's character was going to die regardless, right? Because he kept using his power. That was something.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
That's why the doctor that was trying to help him, the guy, I think this guy is probably one of Cronenberg's guys, because the guy that played the doctor was very, like,
dry.
Yeah, sure. like he was performing in a play, like, I don't know. told him, explained to him what his power was like. He's like, either you have a very new human ability or a very, very old one. And I think you can see things that have happened and feel things and blah, blah, blah. And your ability to change these events is what we call your dead zone. I'm like, okay, who calls it this? But okay.
More like the name of his love life. Dead zone. Yeah.
And then he explained, because Christopher Walken told him, it feels kind of like I'm dying every time I do this. And he said, I don't think you're sustainable. You have, like, this gift, but it's killing you every time you use it because you're not supposed to be alive, I guess. And he said, you need to isolate yourself, so you need to come back with me to the hospital. And he's like, no, I'm already staying with my dad, and I don't talk to anybody. I'm already doing what I need to do.
My dad's pretty much a void of a human being. He won't hurt me. Yeah.
Yeah. Allegedly, Christopher Walken was dying.
I missed all this. I think this is all just plot to justify his death at the end, right? His sacrifice?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was more in line with that he wanted to do it because of his on and off girlfriend here, ex-fiance.
Yeah, and her
baby
husband, who's like a nice guy.
No,
real cuckold. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Because you remember she was like, "Hey, I wanted you to meet my child, but do you want to bang too?"
Oh yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, I brought my kid as a ploy to have sex with you. Just to not start a new relationship, but just to bang. And
so I'm saying this guy dodged a bullet and then he took one.
I'm telling you, his love life is terrible in this.
Yeah, it's like his life is just terrible. It was like, oh, yeah. I did a little Christopher Walken there. His life is just terrible.
Yeah, he's not good with the women, I will say. She kind of, I mean, how many, let's really think about this. How many other men do you think she's done this? Like, here, your kid, it's my kid. Let's yeah, go yeah, back.
It's like, oh, you cut your hair. And she's like, oh, yeah, a long time ago.
She's already taking her shirt off. Yeah. Not the best written character. Classic Cronenberg. No. Not understanding women. Yeah, I mean, this, I think it's, I'm trying to,
I'm going to be honest. It's not my favorite Cronenberg movie.
I know we're kind of poking fun at it, right? But like, yeah. I think it's, again, a very B movie idea. Like, that you shake the hand of a political candidate and you foresee that he's going to bring upon the end of possibly the end of the world, right? Or the end of the United States.
Like
yeah. And what do you do? Right. It's kind of like, what do you do in that scenario? And should you kill him? Should you not kill him? You know,
luckily he went and talked to his doctor, right?
What are Cronenberg's cronies there? Yeah,
it's like, doc, I need answers. And he's like, it's like, oh, well, you know, killing is against my moral compass or blah, or not moral compass, against my doctor beliefs, blah, blah, blah. So what would you do? I'd kill the bastard. I'm like,
okay. Take your pants off. Okay. Let me, I'm a doctor. Take your pants off. Let me see what's on down there.
But anyway, my ex, she gave me this rash down there. I guess you could call that my dead zone now.
Right. It's like, are you? Well, it's like, wow, I'm surprised. I thought for sure you were a virgin.
I don't know. I feel like if you're like a, this is one of those movies I would put on list of like, hey, if you're a David Cronenberg and or a Stephen King completionist, I guess this is a movie for you.
Well, I mean, in terms of like, maybe this is too broad of a question, but like, is where does this like Stephen King adaptation rank among his other movies?
Oh, I don't know. They're all pretty bad, right? Like for the most part.
Right. Yeah. The two I can think of.
Definitely not the worst one.
I feel like it's middle ground, his most accessible one. Since maybe Carrie, right? Or did he write Christie? Christine, yeah. You're Christine,
yeah,
right?
That was his, yeah.
I think those are excellent movies, yeah. Shawshank Redemption, obviously, is great. And what's the other one that I think of? Oh, Creepshow. Creepshow's really good. But that wasn't based on anything, right? That was just a...
That was just him, yeah, shooting the shit with Romero. I don't know. I thought then there's like the ones that people don't really like, but I like a lot, like 1408.
Right. 1408, I think, is underrated. Maybe something we could review for the pod.
I think like Children of the Corn is also something that people find like legendary horror film.
Specifically the first one, yeah. Not part 20 or whatever the fuck. I like the... Pet Cemetery, yeah. Or, I really liked The Outsider. Salem's that was
Lot.
A great...
Oh, The Outsiders.
Yeah, Salem's Lot. No. Well, I mean, yeah. I think it's pretty middle ground in terms of, like, his adaptations. And I think it's a really strong performance by Christopher Walken. I don't know. This didn't really feel like a Cronenberg movie that had any real teeth to it, to be honest.
It kind of just didn't feel like a Cronenberg movie.
I feel like he has these patterns, right? Like, I was going to say even the stuff he did with Viggo Mortensen, but those were actually kind of really good though.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of action, I mean, I know it's more drama, but fucking Eastern Promises is fucking excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, I actually like that movie more than I did History of Violence.
I concur, yeah. I'm right there with you with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This movie's not bad, but I'm also like, it felt like it was kind of a dud. It did take me like 4 sittings to get through it.
Do you feel that this movie has that problem of kind of being too much in pop culture to where it's not really feeling original? And plus, we've seen it a handful of times. Like, we know the beats and the story well enough.
I could agree with that. I think for me, mostly, it predominantly takes place during the winter for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every time like they're shifting another focus, like it always ends up in the winter time. And everything about this town felt very like I was watching a Christmas story. Like a Christmas story was happening at the same time across the street.
Right, yeah. Very wintry.
I shot my eye out, kid. And then like Christopher Walken was like, God, it's burning. The ice is breaking.
I love that. Shot in Canada. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, do you know if your partner had seen the movie?
No, I don't think she had. And then...
Did she know the plot?
She tried to watch it with me twice and was just like, this movie's kind of boring. Like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Like, if somebody that wasn't exposed to this movie, what would there be their initial reaction to it as a thought experiment?
Granted, whenever I was trying to watch it was like after work, and it would be after work for both of us. So it'd be like, well, it's too slow to keep our attention when we're tired. Just fair.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, that's why I'm saying it didn't feel like a Cronenberg movie, because at least like even Scanner's like, oh, this shit's weird. I can stay up and watch this.
Head explodes. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. What? I'm in.
We get to see Michael's iron side.
All of it. Yeah.
All American Canadian Michael Ironside.
Yeah. Alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts before we read the movie? Alrighty.
Can't think of anything else.
Interesting about what you might rate it, but because we're not very high in the movie.
No.
Okay. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Just rate the movie. I'm going to give this interpretation of Stephen King's Dead Zone by David Cronenberg 5 sexy spooky bones.
I feel like I was in the same, more or less the same area. I was going to say 6. So I think there's still something here, but I think...
I think rating right now, according to how I feel about David, it's just David Cronenberg movies.
Like, yes.
Yeah, this was pretty... trying to rewatch this one.
right. Yeah, you're looking at it as his body of work, right? Like his body horror of work.
His body. His new flesh.
His new flesh. Yeah. Yeah, so, well, that makes sense. All right, guys, gals, not binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always...
stay spooky. Cue the music. I don't even know if there's music here. Okay, bye.